Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd, coming to you live from Photoshop World in Miami Beach, Florida, at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Right now, we have the Photoshop World keynote in its entirety, featuring Scott Kelby, the president of the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, Deborah Whitman, senior vice president of marketing for imaging at Adobe, talking about all kinds of cool new stuff. We have a great demonstration by Julianne Cost with the new stuff with Lightroom, all kinds of cool things. So sit back and stay tuned. The Inside Mac coverage live from Photoshop World Conference. Conference and Expo has been brought to you by Lynda.com at LYNDA.com, Lynda.com, by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at Micromat.com, and DVD-XDV, the coolest software to get information off a DVD, MPEG 2, bring it into Final Cut, iMovie, you name it. Check them out, DVD-XDV.com. And of course, MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook Pro. Check them out at mcetech.com. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd. Here's the keynote in its entirety.
Don't freak out, but the Photoshop World keynote will begin in 1 minute. The Photoshop World keynote will begin in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Activate.
Seated, they have their workbooks, we're ready to go. So in about 5 minutes.
Sounds good. I'm gonna step outside and get a lawyer. I'll see you in 5 minutes.
See you in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So are we about ready to wrap this up?
No, not yet. We have to wait till the Photoshop guys get here.
His name's Bert Monroy, and I believe he was here teaching a Photoshop seminar.
Yeah, we know Bert. Everybody knows Bert. Excuse me, son. You're shooting in RAW, right?
No, I'm shooting JPEGs.
Shooting JPEGs. Look, we're the Photoshop guys. We don't shoot in JPEG. Switch that thing to RAW right now. The next shot you take will be at the Sears Portrait Studio. Understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. All right, you know what? Stop. I don't like where this is going. We're going to take it over from here. Guys, get the gear. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That flash is just too harsh. Dave, what do you think?
I don't know. The body still looks just way too stiff to me.
Yeah, I really don't like the pose. Guys, let's go ahead and change the pose a bit.
Whoa, hold on, guys. This is the crime scene. You can't move the body.
Look, with portrait photography, it's not just the lighting. It's the lighting and the posing. It's very important. Guys, go ahead and change it.
Hey, guys, look. Found a laptop.
Hey, we better get that back to the lab and take a look at it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what develops.
Guys, come here. Look at this. This is the laptop we found with Bert. I found a couple things on here. First off, look at the folder on his desktop. It's called New Book Projects. If you open it up, take a look at these books. See that?
Well, that's strange. Those are Deke's books, but it has Bert's name as the author. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why would Bert's name be on Deke's best-selling books?
I don't know, but check this one out here. Bert had Bridge open when we found the laptop, and he's got some photos from Japan here. Now, they all look real artistic, but if you look at this one here, it kind of jumped out to me.
Yeah. It's like it didn't fit in with the rest of the photos.
Yeah, and look, it's the only one that has a 5-star rating and a red label. None of the other ones do. I wonder why that would be.
Yeah, something's not right here. Let's take a look at this. Let's open it in Photoshop. Take a quick look.
Maybe zoom in a bit.
Let me zoom in just a bit. Because you can see a little bit inside.
Hey, that's Deke.
That's not Deke. It's not Deke. All right, let's take a look. You know, it's just, when you really zoom in, it's just too blurry and pixelated to really tell what's going on in there.
You know, it'd be cool if we had one of those filters. You know, you see on TV, it takes like the really blurry photo and then bam, it's unrealistically sharp after.
I guess you don't know about the unrealistically sharp mask filter in Photoshop CS2. Adobe put it there just for law enforcement, you know, CIA, FBI kind of thing.
Yes, and it's only accessible through a super secret combination of keyboard commands. It's Command Option Shift EM, F2, F7, spacebar, F9, tilde.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, move over.
Sorry.
Okay.
See, there it is.
Oh, cool.
Now, there's only one slider, so let's go ahead and move it, but wait, it's not as good without this. It sounds much better with the sound effects. There we go.
Look at that. That's Deke.
All right, I guess it's time to bring Mr. McCullen in for another round of questions. Glaskowski, bring him in.
Okay.
Well, welcome, Mr. McClelland. I'm Scott Kelby, and joining me, of course, in the interrogation room, as always, my co-hosts from the great country of Canada, Mr. Dave Cross, and, of course, rocking the Housky, it's Matt Glaskowski.
Welcome, Deke.
What am I doing here? Did you drag me in to learn some new cool tips about Vanishing Point?
Actually, why we're here is we're actually investigating a murder. It's the murder of Bert Monroy, and then we have a couple of questions to ask you, Mr. McClelland. The first being, where were you last Saturday at 3:03 p.m.?
I was doing a video training series on the pattern maker filter.
Come on, you weren't doing a video tutorial on the pattern maker filter. Nobody's ever used pattern maker.
These photos were taken on the crime scene. What do you think about those?
Well, this one needs some sharpening. This one has some red color cast in the midtones, and this one here could use the shadow highlight filter.
Very funny, Mr. McClelland. You were just in Japan with Bert Monroy doing a seminar, right?
Yeah, so what's it to you?
Read any good books lately? Maybe in a restaurant in Tokyo?
If you've got something on me, bring it on. Otherwise, frankly, you're wasting my time.
All right, Mr. McClelland, we're going to let you go this time. But I wouldn't mind seeing that pattern maker tutorial when you're done with it.
Yeah, that's no problem.
He's not doing a pattern maker video. This is ridiculous.
All right, Matt, what's up?
Hey.
I can't
can't believe you guys let him go.
Look, man, we have no evidence, we have no motive, we've got no way to keep him. I had to let him go. And Dave, did you see anything at the crime scene that would put Deke at the crime scene?
No, I looked through all those raw photos we shot. There just wasn't anything.
Yeah, there's nothing.
What about the JPEGs that the forensic photographer took before we got there?
Oh, man, his lighting was so harsh.
Yeah, it really was. And his unimaginative use of backgrounds was really quite distracting.
I saw some pictures on here from when before we moved the body.
All right, let's see what you got.
See? Look at that one.
You think maybe Bert was trying to tell us something?
No, that's sheer coincidence.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it's just luck.
Guys, you're killing me. Just admit it already. You know it's Deke. I know it's Deke. The entire keynote audience knows that it's Deke. Just say it. It's Deke.
Look, Dave. I'm starting to think on some level it could possibly be Deke.
It could be.
This is ridiculous. It's Deke, are you guys blind?
All right, Dave, I think it's time to pull Mr. McClellan away from his pattern maker long enough to answer a few questions.
I think you're right.
Let's bring him in.
All right, Deke, let's talk. Now, you and Bert were close ones, weren't you?
Yeah, I really looked up to the guy. He was a hero of mine. So we had a falling out over artistic differences. It happens all the time in this industry. What does that have to do with me?
I'm going to be straight with you, Deke. I think you killed Bert Monroy.
Finally! Now you think he did it.
Nice try, Photoshop guys. But you don't have anything on me. No evidence. You don't even have a motive.
Well, how do you explain these book covers that we found right on Bert's hard drive?
So, Bert had big dreams. Big deal. That doesn't mean I killed the guy.
I think that you realize the only guy that could cover those books was Bert Monroy. And that's why you killed him. You got wind of the fact that your publisher was shopping around for a new author. They were tired of somebody doing tutorials on the pattern maker filter, and they were looking for somebody to take your place. But then, when you were in Japan with Bert, Bert just happened to walk by a restaurant and see something he wasn't supposed to see, you, planning his murder. As luck would have it, though, he happened to snap a picture of the scene, and we found it right there on his hard drive. When Bert got back to the States, before he could go to the police, you went to the convention center to meet him. When he came out to take a quick break, right before he went on stage, you were there. You came out, you confronted him, and you killed him, didn't you, McClellan? Didn't you?
He had no right to take those books from me. I raised those books from pups. Nobody could write those books the way I wrote them. He had no right to ruin the work of years and years and years.
I knew it. You guys never listened to me.
Get him out of here.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling Photoshop guys.
You guys did a great job. You solved another case.
Bet. Hey, tell you what, check this out. We did it just in time. Confiscated Deke's laptop. His latest Amazon book order.
Wow, we did catch him just in time.
Hey, guys, it's just about time for that keynote. We better get going.
Yeah, we better get to the convention center. Glaskowski, get the car.
How do I always have to get the car?
All right, Dave, you get the car.
All right.
Photoshop guys, Scott Kelby, Dave Cross, and Matt Glaskowski.
All right, everybody, welcome to Photoshop World. My name is Scott Kelby. I'm the president of the National Association of Photoshop Professionals,
And joining me on stage, representing the great country of Canada, Mr. Dave Cross.
Hello, everyone.
And to my left, rocking the Housky, Matt Glaskowski.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome. We have got a really fun and interesting and fascinating keynote put together for you. We've got a lot of neat stuff this morning.
Yeah, and for those of you that have not heard the term the Photoshop guys before, that comes from a little TV show we do called Adobe Photoshop TV. And it's evident how big things are getting in the Photoshop world, because in the month of March alone, we've had 1 million people download our TV show off the internet.
What's really cool about being at Photoshop World this week, though, is that we're actually going to do a taping of Photoshop TV on the show floor today. So if you're around, you're probably not going to want to leave the expo hall, because it's going to be pretty busy there today. But if you do leave, get back there by 5 o'clock, because we're going to start taping at 5:30.
Now, here's the thing. We don't, in the studio that we're using over here, we don't have seating for 2,000. We have seating for like 60. We have standing room for about 200-300. So if you get there and there are 1,500 people in front of you, go to the other vendors.
Chances are you won't get a seat.
Yeah, chances are you won't get a seat. But we hope that some of you will come and join us today for a live taping of Photoshop TV.
It's a little scary thought, actually, to film that live, isn't it? But
yeah, because we do such a precision job, as you know. Live's really going to mess things up.
That's right. Well, we got a lot of cool stuff today. A lot of things have changed in the world of Adobe and Photoshop since last Photoshop World. And Deb Whitman from Adobe Systems is here to share some interesting news with us.
Also, Photoshop World, it's been a platform in the past for Adobe to give us sneak peeks to some new technology, and that's the same for this Photoshop World here. So in just a few minutes, you're going to get the first sneak peek at some new technology that's coming in the future.
Plus, of course, in the keynote, we've got the Guru Awards. We've got the Hall of Fame nominees are listed today. We've got some great news from NAF. We have some really cool things to share with you, too. But also, we put together the movie that you saw that we did earlier. And, you know, we were joking about the unrealistically sharp mask filter. And we started thinking about, you know, there ought to be some kind of filters that are out there that obviously can't do that, but that would be helpful to the forensics and professionals. So we actually developed, with the help of Felix Nelson, a couple of people in our lab. We developed some plugins, and we're going to actually be using them in an advertising campaign to help raise awareness in NAF. So we're going to go ahead and give you the first look at it. It's supposed to air in 2 weeks, but you guys get to see it now. So Glaskowski, roll the tape.
Why do I always have to roll the tape?
All right, Dave, you roll the tape.
Roll it.
I told you guys it was Deke.
From the people who brought you the unrealistically sharp mask filter comes the most powerful and versatile set of Photoshop plugins ever invented, the Extreme Fakeover Filter Collection. These plug-in filters, developed by NAP Labs, are specifically designed for NAP members in the FBI, CIA, federal law enforcement units, military special ops, or licensed hair care professionals.
This amazing new filter set includes such indispensable filters as the dermoscopic filter. This new filter has three easy settings for your convenience. The normal setting does absolutely nothing. The medium setting gives you an X-ray view of your subject, while the full setting removes all flesh and other surrounding organic material, revealing just the underlying skeletal structure. Are you stuck with only circumstantial evidence and really need to make your case? Then you'll love our Add Evidence filter. With just a click of the mouse, you can instantly bring even the best defense attorney to his knees by realistically planting a variety of weapons into your suspect's photo. We even have some optional extras to sway even the most lenient jury. Are you feeling stress from public outrage? Is the media breathing down your neck to bring in a suspect? Well, you can rest easy with the new Create Suspect filter. Use the Innocent slider to quickly transform the most angelic person of interest into your prime suspect. Afraid the judge won't buy it? Then add the I Confess talk bubble option for a guaranteed 30 years to life.
The appeals process may negate the result of the Create Suspect filter, and as such, NAP Labs cannot guarantee a 100% conviction rate in all cases.
Not into framing people for crimes they didn't commit? Are you licensed to practice cosmetology or reconstructive surgery in any one of the 50 states? Then you'll also want our faux glamour filter set. For example, is your client trying to land a role on that 70s show? then you'll want to use the Stylize Hair Gallery. You can choose your desired hairstyle, length, and even remove those unsightly split ends with just one click. Trying to get that co-starring role with Brad Pitt? Then check out the Enhance Lips Filter. Just choose an option from the pop-up menu, and before you know it, they'll be calling you Mrs. Pitt.
Because past performance cannot be relied upon for future results, Knapp Labs cannot guarantee that Brad Pitt will actually leave his current wife and or girlfriend. Knapp Labs assumes no responsibility if you wind up with Vince Vaughn instead.
You get all these incredible Photoshop plugins for just three payments of $32.67. If you order now, we'll throw in our indispensable Fitness Factory plugins, which take your clients from whipped to ripped in just seconds. Options include body type, tanning options, and muscle mass. Be the first to get your Extreme Fakeover Filter Collection for Photoshop. Call now. Operators are standing by.
Knapp Labs assumes no responsibility if, in fact, operators are not standing by.
Thanks. Well, anytime we get to share the stage with Adobe, of course, it's a huge honor for us. And today, we have a very, very special treat because one of the things that, as Matt mentioned earlier, one of the things that Adobe uses the stage for is to give our members a sneak peek at new and emerging technologies. And today is no exception. So will you please join me in welcoming from Adobe Systems, Adobe's Vice President of Marketing, Deb Whitman. Where's Deb? There she is.
Good to see you.
Whew. Okay.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much. Welcome to Photoshop World. For those of us at Adobe, getting to come to Photoshop World twice a year is always really quite inspirational. It's nice because we get to see people using Photoshop and understand kind of some of the creative things people are doing with it. We also like to just hear from people what they're doing, what they like about the product, what they don't like about it. And there are quite a few of us from Adobe here. If you're from Adobe, could you stand up? So lots of us will be walking around wearing black shirts with little red logos. If you see someone from Adobe, feel free to, you guys can sit down now. Feel free to hunt us down, find us, and introduce yourself. We'd love to hear how you're using the product. We'd love to hear what you like about it. We'd really love to hear what you don't like so much about it, what you'd like to see us change. And so don't be shy. Come up and say hello. We'd like to chat with you about it. I'd love to thank Scott and his amazing team for bringing us all here together in Miami. It's this whole CSI theme is kind of interesting. I'm told that if you watch CSI, you will sometimes see Photoshop on the screens in the lab. It's they never talk about it, but it's there sometimes. There are some other television shows where Photoshop's been seen recently. Anybody run across Photoshop when watching evening TV? What did you see? On the news as well. Okay, good. Well, I thought I'd share with you just a couple of clips. These both happened within the last probably 3 months, I would say, of where you're seeing Photoshop on TV.
It's a nice shot.
My wife wants to make t-shirts out of that one.
I'll tell her to Photoshop out the question mark.
Hi, I need a paternity test.
Well, we'll just schedule you for an exam.
Oh, no, I don't need to take a test. I am just trying to reassure my husband of what I know is true in my heart. So if you could just slip me someone else's test results, I can make my own. I got Photoshop for Christmas.
Ah, the ethical uses of Photoshop. It's a tool that can be used for good or for evil. So typically when I have a chance to come and talk to you all at Photoshop World, I try to share with you some of the news, what's been happening at Adobe and been happening with Photoshop. And as probably most of you know, the biggest piece of news in our world these days is that there is a new Adobe that's come together from the merger of Adobe and Macromedia. So we've brought together a whole set of products that Adobe's been able to bring to customers for a long time. Illustration solutions through Illustrator, page layout through InDesign, the ability to make sure your documents can be read by anybody with Acrobat, and of course, graphic design and photography through Photoshop. We've brought those together with a whole series of products that the folks at Macromedia have been working on for a long time. Animation in motion with the use of Flash, the creation of fabulous websites with Dreamweaver, the ability to have conferencing so you can not only see the people you're talking to, but the presentations they're making through Breeze. And bringing together all of those products into the new Adobe creates lots of possibilities for us in terms of creating better solutions for all of our customers. For the people in this room who tend to be more creatively focused, that's particularly true around our Creative Suites products that include Photoshop and Macromedia's Studio products. So what we found is that a lot of art directors, graphic designers, web designers had two products on their desktop. They had the Adobe Creative Suite and they had Macromedia Studio. And the opportunity for us, of course, is how can we bring those together? Well, in quite a literal sense today, you can now buy them together in one box, which is a bundle designed for web designers. We also have bundles of Adobe and Macromedia products that are meant for graphic designers and video professionals. So in the near term, okay, so we put it all in the same box. That's kind of nice. The real promise here, though, is that in the long term, we can actually bring the products together to smooth the workflow and make it faster and easier to get the creative ideas that people have in their heads out into the world. So make it easier to bring files from Photoshop into Dreamweaver, from Illustrator into Flash, from Dreamweaver into Acrobat, and really speed up and allow for even greater creativity. Part of that vision is to make sure that people are able to create something once and publish it into multiple different venues. Whether you need to take something and create it and get it into print, get it onto a website, get it into a mobile or a PDA, a Trio kind of thing, get it onto some of those new kind of wacky screens that you're starting to see in airports or elevators, the little screen in your car, wherever it is that you can create once and publish it in many different places. And for many of our creative professional customers, that's a vision that they're very excited about, a huge time saver for them. So I thought I'd share with you just a little bit of a perspective on this new marriage between Adobe and Macromedia, from the perspective of your peers and some of our customers. So if you can roll that video, please, that'd be helpful.
I'm a filmmaker and creative director.
I'm a third-year grad student.
I teach interactive animation.
I'm a user interface designer.
If it's web-oriented, we've been in Macromedia's world. Anything with motion graphics, we've always been in Adobe's world. And the fact that those two are coming together is really cool.
It was like 5 in the morning, I'm driving across the Bay Bridge, and I'm listening to NPR, and they're like, Adobe and Macromedia merging. I'm like, just about like shoot off the side of the bridge.
I was at my old job, and I read it in a blog, and I'm sitting there with Photoshop, and probably Flash open, going like, yay!
Thank God. When the companies merged, my first response was thank God.
Without Adobe and without Macromedia, we wouldn't have the rich experiences that you're seeing online today.
And as you start to bring all that stuff together, and the more you think about, you know, how easy or how much better our day can get spending all our time in these tools, it's pretty rad.
They're a great couple because they bring together experience, intelligence.
I think it's a really successful marriage. That's how I see it.
I know. I'm excited to watch out. Has this been shaken?
Adobe is really going to make Macromedia grow up. It's going to have to behave a little more like an adult. At the same time, Macromedia is going to force Adobe to get out a little bit, you know, enjoy life a little bit more.
Go clubbing.
Go clubbing. Take some risks.
Macromedia can help Adobe kind of take it to the streets.
Congratulations to Adobe and Macromedia.
Thank you guys for finally getting together.
May your marriage be full of love.
And I hope for longevity, prosperity, and many children.
Adobe and Macromedia, we love you. Stay sexy.
Here's to a great long life together.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Salud.
Kanpai.
We should really toast ourselves because we're the ones that are going to actually win, no matter what.
I'm just waiting with an upside-down umbrella to catch all this goodness that's going to pour down on us.
So that's the idea, lots of goodness to pour down on us. One of the quotes that I don't think made it in here but was one of our favorites at Adobe was that somebody said they thought that the Macromedia people went clubbing a lot more often than the Adobe people, and this would encourage the Adobe people to go clubbing more. So that's my own personal mission. I can club more now. You got to have goals, you know? So that is, of course, the biggest news in our world is the new Adobe. But there's actually a number of other things happening in the world around Photoshop. We just had the PMA, the Photo Marketing Association conference last month, and there were a number of our partners who announced products that are meant to work really well with Photoshop at that show. I thought I'd share with you just a little glimpse of some of that. Hewlett-Packard announced a new printer targeted at professional photographers, and with that printer they're shipping a plugin that works with Photoshop to streamline how you can print from Photoshop into their printer. It's a really nice integration. Logitech announced a really interesting new device that you can use with your keyboard or your mouse that enables you to control a lot of the tools, like the size of the paintbrush, for example, in not only Photoshop, but all of the Creative Suite applications. And Lexar announced a new memory card that you can put into your camera that also has a Photoshop plug-in right directly on the memory card. So when you pop in the memory card, it automatically opens Photoshop's bridge and starts downloading your images directly into Photoshop. So a lot of activity happening in the ecosystem or the world that lives around Photoshop. And we're really fortunate to have a lot of people building applications that work with or run on top of Photoshop, as well as having fabulous places like our friends at NAPP doing the kind of training and writing books about Photoshop to help give you guys a much fuller solution around the product. We really appreciate that. Some other news from our shop, if you will. You've probably heard that Apple, of course, has a new set of machines that are coming out that are based on Intel chips, and a lot of people call it the MacTel platform. We're very excited about that at Adobe, and we've announced that we will make the next version of Photoshop work on both the new MacTel machines as well as the current PowerPC machines, and are looking forward to that a lot. We also in the very... Good. I love it. That's good. We also, in the very near term, have made our new Lightroom product, which is available in beta. We'll talk more about that in a second. But it's available today on the MacTel machines as well as on the PowerPC. And so that can kind of give you a flavor of the kind of things you'll be able to see from other products that will work on those MacTel machines. So we're very excited about this and looking forward to having that be in your hands. The next piece of news in our world is about Photoshop Elements for the Macintosh, more Mac news. You may know that back in the fall we launched Photoshop Elements for Windows. It was the first time we hadn't done the Windows and Mac versions at exactly the same time. So some people have been sort of waiting with bated breath, where's the Mac version? Well, it's here. We launched it about a month ago. It's got lots of goodness raining down from it. It has some new, we call it sort of editing magic in it. One of the big things is a magic selection brush that makes it much easier to select an object even when it has sort of stray hair or appendages that you might not realize go with it, and then to extract that object. It also has a fabulous new skin tone feature, which for those of us who tend to look a little overly pink in many of our outdoor photos is really a lovely, lovely improvement. With one click, I can look less pink. And there's a whole series of other wonderful things in the product. I won't try to take you through all of it, but that product's available now, and we're excited to be able to bring it to folks. The next piece of news from our world has to do with our services. We have for a long time now been able to offer you prints and really nice quality photo books from Photoshop as well as Photoshop Elements and the starter edition of Photoshop Album. And just at PMA last month, we announced two new services through our Adobe Photoshop Services business. One is an ability to archive your photographs away from your own home so that if something, heaven forbid, happened to your own hard drive or your home, your photos are backed up and stored someplace off-site. And we're offering that service in a partnership with Iron Mountain, folks who have a really strong reputation for long-term storage and safety of documents originally in the printed world and now in the electronic world. We also announced a new service that allows for professional photographers to allow clients to view photographs, to view proofs online, and give the photographer feedback about which photos they want, how they might want to have a photo altered a little bit. So an online proofing service that we're offering in partnership with More Photos. So good news from our Photoshop services side of the house. The second biggest piece of news we have, second only to the new Adobe Macromedia merger, is the launch of our new Lightroom beta. So how many of you have already heard about the Lightroom project? Lots and lots of you. And how many of you have downloaded it already and seen it? Still quite a few. Good. So just to give a little background for the few of you who maybe haven't, about maybe a third of you who haven't, we designed this new product. It's called Adobe Lightroom, and it is designed for photographers. We got a lot of feedback from photographers that Photoshop is a really, really, really great tool for them. But it doesn't have a bunch of things that they need, and in some of it, is stuff they don't need very frequently, right? I certainly don't need it every day. And so we were starting to hear, you know, if you could just do something that would really be thoughtful about the whole workflow that I go through as a photographer, would solve some of the problems that Photoshop isn't the best at today, like helping me take a shoot of, you know, 1,000 images and narrow it down to the small number of images that matter. If you could just create a tool that would do that sort of an end-to-end workflow, I would love it. That would be really good. And that's what Lightroom is. It's a piece of software designed specifically for photographers with exactly what they need and none of the stuff that they don't need on a very frequent basis. They may still go to Photoshop with certain images to do a lot of advanced manipulation and editing. We think they probably will. But this can become their day-to-day tool to really speed their workflow, get them to excellent quality photographs faster. What we've done with the product so far is we've released it in a public beta, and we went public so we could hear back from photographers about what works and what doesn't work and make the product better. And we've had two versions of that beta out in the market since we first launched it in January. What we're going to do today is give you a little preview, a little sneak peek into the third version of that beta. It's not available to the public yet. Version 2 is still available. So we'll just give you a little bit of a sneak peek. And to do that, I'd like to bring out somebody who I think is well known to almost all of you, and that's Julianne Cost.
Hello. How are you guys doing? The rest of you? You're doing good? Okay. Yeah, see, so Scott told me it was a Western theme last time I listened to him. Actually, I've been taking classes just in preparation of this because I'm going to be showing you a beta of a beta. So I figure if we crash, we can all start doing maybe a line dance or something. And I'll be up here. Okay. All right, I have 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I can barely get my name out in 10 minutes. So let's see what we can do. If you haven't seen Lightroom before, this is it. This is beta 3. I'm not going to teach you everything about this program. I'm going to show you some of the things that you can do in it, and then later on we're going to have a full hour session, and you can come by and see everything that you can do in there. So, it's very easy. It's a very easy product to demo, unlike Photoshop. Basically, all you have to do is look at the modules across the top. Now, some of you haven't seen all these modules. I think probably most of you have not seen all of these modules. We've added some new ones since beta 2. And basically, when you go from module to module, you're going to get the tools that you need to work in that module. So I'm going to start off in the library. You're going to import your files into the library. We give you the choice on import if you want to manage your own files. We let you do that. Or you can have Lightroom manage them for you. It's completely up to you. You can do things like batch rename on import. You can add metadata, things like that. But I'm going to go ahead and start like I'm already in the library here. All right, and you can see, as I scroll up and down, you can see all of the different images in my library. And of course, this interface is completely customizable, right? So if I want to go ahead and see my thumbnails larger down here, not a problem. If I want to go ahead and see my thumbnails over here a little bit larger, not a problem. If I want to zoom into an image, all I have to do is double click. That's going to bring me into loop mode. If I click again, it zooms into 100%. Now, right now, I can only see part of the image. So what I'm going to do is simply hit the tab key. And that's going to go ahead and hide both of the panels on either side. Then I can go ahead and move around, check for sharpness. If I click again, it's going to zoom back out. If I want my panels, I hit the tab key again. Now, there might be some images that are very similar. So right down here, I might want to select multiple images and compare them. I'll go ahead and choose those three. But again, I'd like to see them a little larger, so I hit the Tab key. If I decide, you know what, I don't want this image, I can simply Command-click or Control-click. Now I'm down to two. If I want to rate them with a star rating, I can simply tap the 5 key, move over to the other image, and tap the 5 key there as well. Now if I want to return back, I'll just hit the Tab key. That's going to bring me back. I just said hit the Tab key 3 times. So I think I must have told you the wrong keyboard shortcut. So it's a good point I should point out to you that in any of the modules, we'll have a help module. So if you need to go in there for help, because you forget a keyboard shortcut, it's always accessible like that. All right, I'm going to hit the F key again just to hide those top windows, and one more time. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the grid mode. I'll tap the G key to do that. And we'll go ahead and make these thumbnails a lot smaller, and we'll look at the China images. I'm going to go ahead and change the number of images that I'm seeing. Right now, down here at the bottom, you can see I'm looking at 103 images, but I only want to look at those images that have 4 or 5 stars. So I'm just going to filter down what is visible in my library by using this slider right over here on the left-hand side. Okay, so now I've got it filtered down. I've got a manageable number of files to work with. So what do I want to do with them? Well, obviously I could do some quick developing in here, or I could add some metadata here if I want to, if I just want to do it really quickly. But if I want to go more in depth, then I would probably move over to the Describe panel. By the way, at any point in time, if I tap the L key, we go into what's called Lights Dim, which dims back the interface. Now, it's a little too dim there, but I actually like to work in this mode, just because it puts the emphasis on the image itself as opposed to all the things that I'm trying to do to the image. If I tap L again, it's actually lights out, and one more time we'll bring it back up. So if I wanted to add some metadata presets, these are the same presets that you can create when you're importing files. You can also create them here. So let's say, for example, I can go to any of these fields and enter in information, or I can use any of the templates. So if I want to add a bunch of information, it's as easy as just clicking on a template over here. I can enter in my contact information, I can enter in my copyright information. It's all very, very quickly done. And of course, you can select multiple files and apply it to multiple files at one time. Then when I'm ready, I might go over to the Develop module. Now, in the Develop module, I actually have the panels on the right-hand side hidden, but if I want to see those, all I need to do is mouse over, and then I could select, for example, the Crop and Straighten. I could choose to crop this image, and if I just roll over away from that panel, it will go ahead and hide that panel for me. So the tools that I need are really, they're always accessible, but only when I need them. So I'm going to go ahead and use the Film Strip down here, and I'm just going to select a different image. Let me move over here. Let's go ahead and choose this one instead. I don't want to take the time because I only have 10 minutes, and I'm sure now I only have like 6 minutes. So I don't want to have the time to take the time to go through. I just want to show you a few things. One of them is the cropping. So I'm going to show the crop overlay here, and then I'm going to hit the Tab key because I want to show you that you can simply click and drag your crop, right? But here's where it gets interesting, because what you'll typically do is say, okay, well, in Photoshop, I would move this up to the right to move the crop marquee. But you're not moving the crop marquee here. You're simply moving the photograph, right? So it's very intuitive. You want to move the photo over, you just drag the photo around in the crop. And if I roll over here, I can now access, for example, to constrain my aspect ratio. If I want to pick, let's say, a 2x3 aspect ratio, it'll go ahead and change the crop marquee. I can reposition the image. But then I can go back there again and change this as many times as I want. So there's no dual mode where I have to toggle in and toggle out. It's all right there, very easy to change. All right, let's go ahead and just reset that. I don't actually want to crop this file. And I'm going to roll away from that so those tools disappear, and I'm going to come over to the left-hand side just to show you some of the presets. So regardless of what module you're in, when you make changes on the right-hand side, you can then save all of those changes as presets. So for example, if I wanted to make this into a cyanotype, I can go ahead and click there. I'm going to go ahead and actually hit the Tab key again, because I do want to show you one other thing. These are some new buttons right down here. You might want to see a before and an after shot. So as you're working, you see the changes that you're making. So let's say, for example, you might want to make a custom grayscale conversion. This happens to be one where I've darkened down the reds, and that's evident because there's a lot of red here. It gets darker down there. Here's one. This is a high contrast black and white. Here's one of just some low saturation. Here's another one of black and white. But the red channel has actually been moved to the right so that it's lighter back there. So you can see you can go through and you can make these presets. You'll be able to exchange these presets with other people. You can save them out. You can do many, many different things here that I will talk about more in depth as to how you actually get these presets later on in my talk. All right, let's move over to the slideshow area. I'm going to go ahead and select all of my images here. And I have two different ways to view this. I can either view it as a grid where I can see each individual slide, or I can go ahead and view just one image. This helps me if I want to do things like change the image setting or the slide layout tools. All of these have different options here, you can see. For those of you who are using it, here's a very clever little keyboard shortcut. If you option click on one of the titles, just that area will open up. So option clicking, like on slide layout, closes all of the rest of the panel, just opens up the options for that area. Again, I've made some other templates over here just because there's not time to make them all. This is the basic one. If you wanted a black background, you can add a black background. If you want to add some metadata, you can choose exactly which metadata you want to add to your slide. You can put a photograph in the background if you want to. You can use a custom logo or something as an identity plate if you wanted to. Here's just another plain background with a separate identity plate. And then my favorite, because we're in Florida, and I just wanted to see if any of you were paying attention. Because everybody always asks me, Julianne, why do you always wear black? See, now you know. You really don't want me to dress in color. All right. Let's go over here to the print module then. The print module, again, see, you see the theme here, right? All of your presets and everything in your previews are on the left-hand side. All of your options are on the right-hand side. So again, I'm just going to go through. I want to show you down here at the bottom that I've got 39 different images. They're all selected. So depending on what template I pick, it's going to auto-populate that template for me. So for right now, I've just got one per image. So that's fine. You can go ahead and you can click through them all. But if I went in to go to the 2x2 autofill, it would go ahead and auto-fill all of those images. Now if I look and I see, I've got two images that are the same. If I want to exclude one of those, I can simply Command-click. And it will get rid of that image and auto-reflow all the rest of them. I also have the option to rotate the photos for best fit. I also have options here like overlay options if you want to print things like page numbers or if you want to print photo information like the file name and the date and the exposure. All of those things can be added completely customizable, and then you just save out the templates that you want. I have another one down here, this 3x3 identity plate. My name up there is pretty faint, but you can see that you can move around the images and where the grid appears on the contact sheet so that if you wanted to put your own custom logo and contact information up there, it's very easy. What I am going to do here, you'll notice this is page 1 of 5, and we can go ahead and move through those. You can see all those different pages. I'm going to hit the print button here, and because I don't have a printer up here, I'm just going to print this to PDF. And let's just name it something we'll remember, like Trash Me. And we'll put that on the desktop, and I will hit save. So for any of you who have made contact sheets in Photoshop, in previous versions of Photoshop, did I hit cancel? Was anyone watching? Because the worst thing is, as a presenter, when you do something wrong and everyone in the audience knows that you've done something wrong, but no one tells you that you've done something wrong. Okay, so perhaps I've done something wrong, but I think I have done something wrong. Yeah. Bad, Julianne. Okay, so anybody for line dancing? Because that will be my next job. All right, no. So what I didn't do is I didn't enable this draft mode printing, so it's actually going to take a while to print those. But that was just, you know, so that I never make this mistake again. I just wanted to make it in front of a few people so that I would keep that in mind. Okay, so if you turn on draft mode printing, it's actually quite fast. I'm going to move on to the web. All right, let's go to the last panel here. It's, how do I know it's printing? I've got this little, see up here, the preparing, it actually tells me what it's doing. That little spinning wheel will now haunt me in my nightmares, I'm sure. All right, so let's take a look. There's Flash galleries, there's HTML galleries. It's up to you to choose. You'll notice that it's just taken the images that I had selected and it's gone ahead and put them in a template. Here, again, I've created a very colorful template. But first, we'll go to the dark template. And we'll just try some of the other templates. Okay, so Lightroom, we need to have a little conversation. You see there's some people watching right now? So I know you're beta, but if you could just behave, that'd be great. Thanks. Okay, so here we go. We've got the dark one right here, or the light one right here. I don't know why that looks kind of dark, but maybe it was late. All right, so I'll just end on the most colorful one. It's going to load the gallery. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so with that, Deb, could you come save me? Oh, Deb. Deb, I'm going to make you go to line dancing classes with me. Okay.
Sure.
So, if I have more time, I'll do more stuff. No.
One more thing, Julianne.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that. Okay, let's go back to the library. Let's go back to the library. I have these things called quick collections, which I never show, unfortunately, but they're really quite cool. You can just go down and tag a bunch of images and then put them in their own like little collection at one time. Of course, if you want to, you can always go back and change those collections or make those collections permanent, which is quite handy. But here, let me just do this. I'm going to look at this image right here, and we're going to move over to describe. And then I'm going to tap the F key here, and I'm going to minimize Lightroom for one moment because I want to connect here, make sure I'm connected, and then we'll go back. A few things that I forgot to mention while that's connecting is that let me show my EXIF data there. The cool thing is no matter where you are in Lightroom, if you right mouse click, Photoshop is just a mouse click away. Right? So if you get to a point and you're like, okay, this is great, I've got my image perfect, I want to go ahead and export it, start working on it, use multiple layers, add type, whatever it is you want to do, you can simply do that with a right mouse click. Something else I forgot to add.
You said one more thing, right?
I know. Well, see, you give me time. You should know better than to do that. I was trying to be so good and get off the screen. So did you notice there was a little link there that picture had GPS information embedded in the metadata? And if I actually click on that, it will take me to Google Maps, and it will show me exactly where that image was photographed. So this happens to be the Adobe office right there. And that's where we are, right there in that tower. So there's some really, really cool stuff that the engineers are working on. I'm going to hand it back over to you, Deb.
Thank you so much, Julianne. Nicely done. Ended on Google Maps. I love it. So that's a little preview of Lightroom. As I said, the reason we put this out as a public beta is that we wanted to hear from people. What works? What doesn't work? How do we make it better before we release the real product? And we are listening. We have people on the Lightroom forums. About 2,400 people have signed on to give us some feedback and tell us what they want us to do different. And we're making changes based on what people tell us. So we started out with a module called Slideshow, and this idea that you make a slideshow to show on your own computer, burn it on a disk, put it up on the web for your clients. And heard back pretty clearly, you know, when you think about going to the web, yeah, slideshow's good, but we also need to have something a little more interactive, more like a gallery where customers can click on individual images and they can kind of drive what order to look at things in. And it caused us to rethink the architecture and say, let's have a completely separate module for creating what you're going to do on the web and then a separate module for slideshow. So it's just one example. There are lots of ways that we're refining the product in real time based on the feedback people are giving us. So with that in mind, come give us feedback. So if you would like to get a little bit more in-depth demo of Lightroom and give us feedback about what you think about the product, there's going to be a session. Today's Wednesday, right? Yes, today, from noon to 1 o'clock in C222. And I'd really encourage you to come by, take a more in-depth look at the product, and tell us what you think. So that's it for the Adobe part of all this. We really appreciate you all coming to Photoshop World and taking time to learn more about Photoshop and how to get your creative ideas out into the world. Thanks again. Have a great show. Scott, bring us back to CSI.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Deb. Well, we promised you're going to see some new technology, and we have some more new technology. It's cool Adobe stuff. And to show you the cool Adobe stuff, we brought Adobe's Vice President of Engineering. Please join me in welcoming Dave Story. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Scott. Hey, great to be here. So one of the most common questions that I get at Adobe is, how do you guys keep coming up with new stuff? I mean, Photoshop has been around for a while. What can you possibly be thinking of? And as Scott knows, and as I'm sure you guys all know, we get all of our best ideas from your problems. And boy, let me tell you, you guys have a lot of problems. Now, one of the hottest topics that you've seen, you know, and I was laughing because the guys from the FBI are sitting in the second row here, and during the extreme fakeover, that got the biggest laugh from these guys. Now, of course, they know that's not what they're really doing. Image alteration is a serious topic, and it's something that we take very seriously, not only because you can use it for good or for bad, as Deb said, but because there are really serious ethical issues about it. Now, I'm representing Adobe Labs here today to show you some technology that no one has ever seen before outside of Adobe. Do you guys want to see something no one's ever seen before outside Adobe? I don't know, what do you think? Let's go. Yeah.
We ought to.
Yeah.
You've set it
up. We have to do it anyway.
Yeah,
do you guys want to see something nobody's ever seen before? Okay, cool. Now, Scott, you were going to bring up some images, and we were going to show something that will help people to do image forensics, a hot new field of detecting when an image has been tampered. So, Scott, you had some sample images you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go ahead and open up this photo first. The first photo we're going to open, let you take a look. This is a photo of my newborn baby daughter, Kira. She's only 6 weeks old today. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the demo. I just wanted to show you a picture of my daughter. Okay. All right. Now, here is the photo we're going to use.
Okay, so this is Miami Beach taken recently with some clouds. So here's what we'll do. So one of the things that we commonly see as a challenge is people are manipulating their images. They're using tools from either Adobe or from some of those knockoff vendors. And it's difficult to detect what's actually happened. So Scott, tell you what, why don't we do this? Why don't you make some manipulations to that image, and then I'll try and figure out what you did.
All right.
Okay. So go ahead, Scott. I'll cover up my eyes. Okay, so Scott will be carefully retouching. He'll be doing a seminar on this and attending about 4 hours, explaining exactly how to use these tools.
Yeah, I'm sure no one knows how to use this tool I'm using. It's the paint bucket. No, just kidding. I'm not going to tell him what tool. Hang on. I'm really doing a hack job here. Let me change tools. All right.
Okay.
I did something.
You did something. All right. So now what I'm going to do is bring up a filter that we put together just for the CSI session here. This is something that we've been doing. It's research in Adobe Labs in conjunction with some of our university partners. In this case, Dartmouth University has been helping us out. And we've been bringing their research to market. Now, one thing I want to point out here is this is beta technology. And there's no guarantee that this will actually make it into a shipping product. But here's the CSI clone scanner. Now, I'm going to run this on the entire image. Now, what's happening now, Scott, is that we're actually converting the image into Fourier space, looking at the signals and all the signatures in the frequency domain, looking for the fingerprint, if you will, of what's been done to this image and seeing where the lines kind of don't match up in that fingerprint.
Yeah, I remember that from the rehearsal.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. So let's actually apply the filter to the image. Was it running before? Okay, now what you can see here is actually we've detected some suspicious regions. Okay, so there was some cloning that happened over in this area, coming from this section to that section. Now, I know there were more people here before, but Scott has actually been a little bit too clever for me. The technology, what it actually is going to allow us to do is to enable folks, like the folks in the second row here, to do image forensics on the images, determine what areas have been modified, and then go back to the originals and determine, okay, now what actually did you do? And this is a hot topic, Scott, as you know, whether it's stem cell research or people planting Jane Fonda next to John Kerry. It's really important for people to be able to tell what is an acceptable alteration and what isn't. So in addition to using things like the history log and submitting original images to their scientific journals, people are now going to be able to look at some point in the future. They're going to be able to look at images and determine exactly what was done to them.
Cool. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate you letting us see this technology. Right. Very cool stuff.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Nice to see what's going on in the lab over there. Now, I would like to show you something that will prove, once again, without a doubt, that Dave, Matt, I, Deke, and Bert are not professional actors.
Hi, guys. Can you tell me what I'm doing here? Did you want some cool tips on using the hammer filter?
Oh, hey, you got any?
The hammer filter? Isn't that getting picked up a little bit?
Yeah.
Read any good books lately? Maybe in a restaurant in Tokyo?
I don't know. Do I have a line at this point? Do I say something?
I have no idea where we're taking this from.
The Deke was there.
I looked through all of those raw files we took. There's just nothing at all.
What about the
media card that the forensic photographer took.
You mean the JPEGs? I was trying to help you out.
The media card.
Mikulski. I think it's time we brought Deke McCullen in for some
exams.
I think it's time we brought Mr. McCullen in. Gosh, I'm sorry.
Compose.
Stop it. I think it's time we brought Mr. Klus.
And then whenever you want to.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm just waiting for a silence so I can do it.
He is the known line.
That's deep. One more time. Can you do it better?
Yes is the answer.
Okay, dead body cannot be talking.
No, really, I'm not dead. I'm cool. Just leave me alone, right? Excuse me, son. Are you shooting raw?
No.
That was nicely done. Wow, good actor. Sorry.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Sorry.
No, I'm fully dressed. Whoa, guys, you can't move the body. This is a crime scene.
Let me explain something to you. You're just a creative director.
What's up?
Oh, it's on.
It's on now.
Hey, we better get that back to the lab and take a look at it.
Yeah, let's do that. That'd be great. Good idea, Dave.
Let's be interesting to see what develops.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's proof positive. Hey, now it's time for a very interesting part of the morning, and that is the unveiling of the nominees for the Photoshop Hall of Fame. And I know that video clip is going to start any second. I can feel it.
The mission of the Photoshop Hall of Fame is to honor and recognize those individuals whose contributions to the business, education, development, and art of Adobe Photoshop have enduring value.
You know, each year we ask NAP members from around the world to submit their individuals for consideration for entrance into the Hall of Fame. And this morning we're going to reveal the 24 official names of the official nominees. And later this year in Photoshop World Las Vegas in September, of course, we'll actually induct three of the people whose names you're about to see here into the Photoshop Hall of Fame. Previous Hall of Fame inductees include Dan Margulis, Thomas Knoll, man who wrote Photoshop, and Diane Fenster in 2001. Russell Brown, Glenn Mitsui, and Deke McClelland in 2002. Mark Hamburg, Jack Davis, and Stephen Johnson in 2003. Julianne Cost, Ben Wilmore, and Burt Monroy in 2004. And in Bruce Fraser, Mark Polliger, and Katrine Eisman in 2005. Now let's take a look at this year's nominees as voted by NAP members around the world.
The official nominees for the 2006 Photoshop Hall of Fame are John Paul Caponegro, Vincent Versace, Linda Weinman, David Blattner, Andrew Rodney, Jeff Shiwi, Dave Cross, Greg Gorman, Michael Ninnis, Martin Evening, Seth Resnick,
where's the award?
Sherry London, Sean Duggan, Kai Krauss, Jim DiVitale, Peter Bauer, Steve Kaplan, Felix Nelson, Eddie Tapp, Suzette Trochet, Colin Smith, Scott Kelby, Rob Kerr, and Taz Talley.
How about a nice round of applause for the 2006 nominees? Again, three of these people will actually be inducted into the Hall of Fame in Las Vegas this September. Hey, I have some exciting news. Since you are NAT members, I think you would be very happy to hear that. Just this last week, we signed up our 50,000th member. So we now have 50,000 members strong. Now, we thought we should do something special for the 50,000th person. So we actually put a prize package together. The 50,000th member that just signed up was Alexander Dubois Fisher. He works for the city of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we gave him a prize package which includes an extended membership, a full set of all in apps, books, and DVDs, a full conference pass to Photoshop World Las Vegas, and a specially inscribed 50,000th member iPod. So see, it's all slick there, iPod. So congratulations to them. Now, there is also, and I have it written down here, we thought, well, we're giving it to somebody that just signed up. Don't we owe it to the first member? Well, the first member is Chuck Friedman, who was from Willard Lake, Michigan. And Chuck is still a member to this day. And we are giving, of course, Chuck gets a lifetime membership and a whole host of prizes, similar to the ones that the 50,000th member got. So just, I want to thank you guys for helping us to reach an incredible milestone of 50,000 members. Now, for something very serious, back in 2005, the photography and digital imaging community suffered a great loss when Dean Collins, who is a true pioneer in the field of Photoshop education and training, passed away. So to honor Dean's memory and his lifetime of contributions to the Photoshop community, NAP has established the Dean Collins Photoshop World Educator Scholarship. Each year, it's awarded to an educator, a high school or college educator, that is nominated by his or her students. And the recipient of the scholarship gets a full conference pass to Photoshop World, and NAP also provides their round-trip airfare and their accommodations as well. Well, this morning I'm proud to announce that Ron Herman is the 2006 recipient of the Dean Collins Photoshop World Educators Scholarship. Please join me in welcoming Ron Herman. Could bring him up here, present him with the award. All right, thank you. Thanks. So, Ron, I know you're here somewhere. Ron, take your time, no problem. I'll just stand up here at center stage. Really, take your time. I need to talk to your students. Here, Ron, can we pose for a picture?
Sure.
All right. Hey, look, it's Ron. Congratulations. You want to say a few words?
Sure.
Oh, he's going to say some words. All right, come on over here to the podium, Mike. We won't make you put on the headset. And I'll hold your award.
And it's, hold on. It's then. Always very. What's that?
I don't think your mic's on.
Oh.
Try it now.
I just want to say that, that it's a real privilege, and it's always nice to see that students are appreciative and they're excited about Photoshop as much as I am. So thank you very much.
Congratulations. Thanks. All right. One of the highlights of this morning's festivities, and to wrap things up, it's the time for the presentation of the Photoshop World Guru Awards, honoring the artwork of our members here today at Photoshop World.
Welcome to the 6th Annual Photoshop World Guru Awards. To present today's awards, please welcome NAP's Executive Director, Larry Becker.
Good evening. It's evening. I'm wearing a tux. Anytime you wear a tux, it's evening. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the Guru Awards. The Guru Awards this year are brought to us by CDW. They're our prize sponsor for the Guru Awards. And I'm going to announce the three finalists in each category but only the winner for each category should come up. Now, if you're in the way back, or even if you're in the front, come up kind of quickly. We're running a little short on time. You may not get your award unless you arrive quickly. All right, so the way that it works, all finalists will also get a certificate, and the certificate will be presented by Mike Descher, and he'll be up here at the front. He'll give you a certificate for one of those new look devices, sponsored by CDW, but created by Logitech. So Mike will be up here at the stage. So when you win, come on up, come up to the stage, get your picture taken, and then leave expeditiously because we have other important things to do. The Guru Awards are based on, are judged on 30% on originality, 30% on Photoshop skills, and 40% on overall impact. The categories for this evening's awards are artistic, commercial, web design, montage, photography, photo restoration, illustration, photo retouching, and of course, best of show. So let's get started. In the artistic category, the finalists are Stephen Vosloo for Temptress. At this point, you're supposed to politely applaud. Golf clap. Chris Maher for Eden. And Ciro Marchetti for Nest. You guys are doing very well. And the winner is Ciro Marchetti for Nest. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only congratulations. Stand here for a second. Hey now, you're an all-star. And, get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Thank you. Congratulations. Paid. The next category is commercial, and the finalists in commercial are Dan Peterson for Dress Up Before You Go Out, Shelley Sund for Veterans Day Promo Ad, and Todd Atkins for Fuel 2006 Launch Kit. And the guru goes to Dan Peterson for Dress Up Before You Go Out. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Thanks, Dan. All right, that was wonderful, but Dan, you need to be a little bit more excited. So the next contestant, please, a little more excited. The next category is web design, and the finalists are Chris Ruff for KFFL Playoff Website, Galina Osuva for SonomaDesigns.com, and Orlando Hidalgo for OrlyDesign.com. And the guru goes to Orlando Hidalgo for OrlyDesign.com. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Congratulations. Okay, so think Price is Right. Like, jump up and down, screaming. No, when you win. When you win. All right, the next category is photo montage. And the finalists are Laura Nalesnik for Beating the Odds. Richard Martha for Urban Safari Before and After. And Michael Crozier for Crime and Punishment. And the guru goes to Richard Martha for Urban Safari Before and After. So on behalf of Richard, I'd like to make this speech. Tell Richard, we'll give it to him later. All right. The next category is photography. And the finalists are Armando Martinez for Camelback. Adrian Connolly for Australiana. And Dan Peterson for God's Light. And the guru goes to Adrian Connolly for Australia. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Thank you. Congratulations. Actually, you did that really well. Can I give you Richard's as well? I'm just kidding. But he ran down here. He was excited. He said, thank you. That's what you're supposed to do. All right. The next award is a special award, and it will be presented by a special presenter, Mr. Scott Kelby. Please welcome him back to the stage. Mr. Scott Kelby.
Thanks. I want to talk to you just for 1 second about this special category. A few years ago, we realized that we wanted to do something separate and something special to just honor the excellence in digital photography. It's a very, very important thing. We're very passionate about it. It's very important to the Photoshop experience. And we wanted to find somebody to present the award, to name the award after, that was a real evangelist of digital photography. And the gentleman I'm going to introduce to you is every bit of that. He's a brilliant photographer, a celebrated photographer, and he really, really, really hates film. So I thought he was the perfect guy to do it. And so please join me in welcoming the namesake of the Vinnie Award, Mr. Vincent Versace.
Let me be very clear. Film is what occurs on your teeth when you don't brush. And oh, $12. And the winner of the Vinny, no? Oh. Cory Barker for Studying Late in the Study. And accepting the award for Cory Barker for Late Study is Vincent Versace.
Thank you, Vincent. Ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Versace. That's too good. Photo restoration. And the finalists in the photo restoration category are Trudy Baker Tate for Uncle Eddie, Before and After. Okay, the polite applause is getting kind of lame, so let's pep it up, and we'll on the next one. Okay, so Jessica Ray Ziegler for Grandma and Grandpa Harris. There you go. Okay, that was really good. I'm going to start over. No, I'm not. Phil Scarsbrook for Capital. And the guru goes to Phil Scarsbrook for Capital. Hey, and all that glitter Phil. Okay, now you're supposed to keep applauding until he gets here. Great job. Congratulations. Stand here for a picture. Thank you, and get your new look as well. This is great. Okay, so next year, everybody that enters the Gurus has to come to a practice session beforehand. Okay, the next category is illustration. And the finalists are Bob Mahon for Create a Dream. Alex Torres for 300 Brush Power. And Ben Kando for Regret Pride, Grace Fallen. And the winner is Bob Mahon for Create a Dream. The final category this evening is photo retouching. Finalists are Derek Prospero for Room with a View, Susie Garant for Retouch RS, and Adam Daniels for Salva the Russian. And the guru goes to Adam Daniels for Salva the Russian. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Congratulations. Only shooting stars. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. And all that. And now it's time for the best of show. And again, sponsored by CDW, the best of show winner this evening wins an Epson R2400 fabulous printer, courtesy of CDW, as well as the new look from Logitech. And the best of show winner is Eduardo Rizzo for Grounded. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Thank you. That concludes the Guru Awards, and I'd like to turn it back over to my friend, Scott Kelby.
Thanks, Larry. All right, guys, it's time to wrap things up because we got to do stuff. Hey, a couple quick things I want to let you know about because it's very, very important. First, the conference sessions start this morning at 10:45. We have a thing called Help Desk. It is where you can go and talk to the instructors one-on-one and get your questions answered. It's on the show floor, which opens today at 1 o'clock. The exhibit hall is open today from 1 to 6, so after the classes are over. There also are three theaters on the floor running classes all day long, and a number of the vendors are running classes as well. Tonight, there's a party at the Hard Rock Cafe. If you have a ticket, I'll see you there. If not, unfortunately, it's sold out. Photoshop After Dark, a whole other set of classes tonight from 6:15 to 7:15. There's also a thing called Dinner with a Stranger. Dinner with a Stranger is this. If you're here by yourself, go to the registration desk and sign up to go to a restaurant tonight, and they'll give you a button that says, I'm a stranger. You show up at the restaurant and look for other people wearing the I'm a stranger button. Don't talk to people that are not wearing the button. Those actually are strangers. The people with the red button are Photoshop World attendees that want to hang out tonight. So, want to hang out tomorrow night. So, sign up for that at your registration desk. Also, there's something brand new that we did. It's called the Photoshop Widows Club. It is run by Ruth Knoll, who is Thomas Knoll, the inventor of Photoshop's wife, and she truly understands what it's like to be a Photoshop widow. She also has a dinner tonight limited to just 15 people, and if you've never met Ruth, she's an amazing, amazing woman. She's just absolutely a hoot, so go check her dinner out. You can sign up for that as well, but only after 15 people are signed up, it's done. Tomorrow, the expo hall is the last day. Expo hall's open, only open today and tomorrow, so for tomorrow, from 10 to 5, it's open. Tomorrow night, there's a thing called the Art of Digital Photography. It is not a Photoshop training session. It is just to get inspired by some of the most incredible photographers you're ever going to meet. And this year we've added a couple of new photographers that are just amazing. Jay Mazel and Joyce Tennyson have added to the panel, and it is going to be an electrifying night. It is always one of the highlights of Photoshop World. Make sure you're there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. If you're going to Midnight Madness, we have just a couple of hundred tickets, and there's over 2,000 of us here, so it's going to be a little bit of a scramble for them. They are giving out at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow outside of Hall C. So if you show up after 8:30, don't worry, they'll be gone. We do have something that we want to leave you with. We have a commemorative poster for you guys so you'll remember Photoshop World. And you get it for free by stopping by the official bookstore on the show floor that's open at 1 o'clock today. Guys, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. We're going to have a great Photoshop World. We're so glad you're here. We'll see you in class.
Bring it.
Your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro. I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit.